I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the future. I keep saying we're at the crossroads here in our country. There's a lot of change going on. There's a lot of things happening that are forcing change. There are things we didn't expect. I don't think if you asked yourself 10 years ago, where do you think you'd be in 2018? I don't know if we would see such a complete schism in our people, in what we believe. Like I've said a couple times before, we used to all have basically the same kind of beliefs, only we had different ways of achieving the things we thought we should do. We are so split now as a people that I know because of the last election, there are people in my family that I love, that I've grown up with, that we don't speak together anymore. We can't talk because they couldn't believe that I would vote for Trump, that I must be some kind of a crazy person, that I would vote for this horrible man who was going to do all these terrible things. And at the same time, I tried to have a conversation with them about, well, don't you see the negative things I see about Mrs. Clinton, who was running? And really, those conversations were not so much about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, although they were the centerpiece of the conversation. It was more about where we are as a country. What did we believe? Did we want to go further towards a socialist style of country, as they've done in Europe, or do we want to remain more traditional America like we were here under our republic? And I think it's pretty obvious that that schism, it could not be any clearer. So when we talk about the future, we're going to have some young people here, because actually they own the future. It's theirs. It belongs to them. And we're going to talk to some people about what it's like in school. What are they looking for in the future? What do they see as the real problems that we have? So we'll get them out here in a couple of minutes. We're also going to have our visit to the neighborhood. And we're going to title ourselves here, you know, we're the Jersey Boys, until, of course, we get some of the ladies on here with us. Then it'll be the Jersey Crew. But right now, it's the Jersey Boys in the neighborhood, and we'll be with them in a couple of minutes. So to continue on my idea of the future, I look and see where we're going to be very close to now. Where are we going to be in November? We're going to have another election. And this election is really going to be a referendum on what has happened in the election of 2016. Was it a mistake? You know, the mass media wants to tell us that people have all pretty much realized now that that was a terrible mistake that everybody made, and we're going to rectify it, and this big blue wave is going to come along. Nancy Pelosi is going to become the Speaker of the House again, and they're going to get rid of all the tax cuts. We're going to, you know, make the deals that we had with everybody. We're going to put them back together. We're going to go right back to the way it was in 2015, and that's exactly where we think we're headed. I don't think that's the case. I actually believe that just like in the election, when people would not say that they were for Donald Trump because the media beat them down, their friends beat them down, so they just quietly kept their mouth shut and they went in and pushed the buttons. I have a feeling the same thing's going to happen in this election. So let's take a minute and look at this problem with Donald Trump here. I just want to cover this for 1 minute. It's been a lot of things been going on in the news. We're starting to see that this Russia conspiracy, which I'll be the first one to tell you, if he actually did that, if he actually did that and conspired with a foreign government to take the election away, I would be the first one to jump up and down and say he's wrong and we should probably do something about it. But there is no law against collusion. What there is that something that he could be impeached for doing, because that would be maybe considered conspiring against his own country. But there's no law against that. Well, if he did it, like I said, I would be the first one to say he was wrong. But we've had many investigations going on, and we all know there is no evidence of that on Donald Trump's part. What we have found is lots of evidence of collusion and outright conspiracies on the left. There's no doubt about it. We've seen Hillary paid for that dossier, and she hid the money through an attorney's office so it could be legal expenses, when actually she paid for that. She got information from Russian operatives who put that together, the whole purpose being to make Trump look bad, turn people against him. Exactly what they're complaining that saying that Trump did is what the Democratic Party did and Hillary Clinton. So this is coming apart. This conspiracy is starting to come apart as the facts come out. Why Do you think that the Department of Justice would not turn over documents that they have in their possession that could clear this whole thing up? They keep saying that it's for national security, but we just saw a release the other day, and it turns out the reality is it's not a national security. It's embarrassing to them to realize it's pointing out what they did. And I think it's been made very clear here that the whole reason that they thought they would get away with this is they thought Mrs. Clinton was going to win, and all of this would have disappeared. No one would ever have seen this. None of this would have ever come to light. And it would have just been, you know, Donald Trump was a crazy guy who did really weird, bad stuff. He conspired with the Russians, and he's gone to the ash heap of history. And now we can move forward and continue socializing our country and doing all that good stuff with Mrs. Clinton. It didn't work out that way. The American people saw through that, and we now have whatever you want to call it with Donald Trump. You have to look and say the economy is better. You can argue about whether or not the tax cuts were the right thing to do, but the economy's better. We don't see any talk about the unemployment rate, which is at historically low levels. We see the participation by all different groups is all the way through the roof. So I don't see all the bad things that people said were going to happen. And on the last note, I have a friend of mine whose son came out in the last couple years and actually said that he feels that he's a woman. He's an LGBTQ member. And I loved this kid. Growing up, he was a wonderful kid. And I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And then I saw him on Facebook one day, and I saw he had changed his name. And he now had a girl's name. So I kind of found out what happened. I could care less what he did. It doesn't matter to me. He's still the most wonderful person in the world. If that's who he feels he needs to be, God bless him. It doesn't have anything to do with me. So I reached out and we started talking, and I'll try and use the proper pronouns because I'm trying to be respectful. So she says to me, "I can't believe you're going to vote for this Trump guy. Don't you realize what he's going to do? He's going to round us all up. He's going to make us go to these concentration camps. He's going to make us think other ways." And I was astounded that she really believed this in her heart. She was hysterical. She really believed that was going to happen. Well, it's been a year and a half, and I don't know. I don't think he's given the order yet to round people up and put them into these camps and change their thinking. I haven't seen that anywhere. I haven't seen any of the horrible things they said were going to happen in the future. So at this point, I look at the future and I say, if we could get past this nonsense that's going on here and clear this up once and for all, get this report out there. If he did something wrong, we'll deal with it. If he didn't, let's move on. And the future can be bright, because the future for us is really for our children and the next generation. That's what we work for. That's what we try and do the right things for. So I'm hoping for a better tomorrow. I'm trying to be hopeful, and I try to stay hopeful. And that's my thought on the future. So we're going to get going here. Right now we have some fellas that are stepping in. Good afternoon, everybody. Glad you're all here.
Hello, Jeff.
We have Mr. Todd Pangaro, a fellow that I know. The name might sound familiar, because that's right. I grew up with this young man. Not only was he from the neighborhood, we shared a bedroom for a really long time, and there's a bunch of crazy stories there. Mr. Jack Patterson, the backbone of America. It's men like Jack that make America work. Tonight we have a new guy on the block showing up, Mr. Greg Duffy. Greg is an educational professional. I can tell you, Greg is a squared away guy. He's always looking to do the right thing for the kids. He takes no crap, though. So that's a wonderful thing to know about Greg. And then we have, to my right, our favorite guy here, Mr. Jim Giordano, our contrarian, which he loves that. He wants to argue with me about whether I should call him that, but that's part of him being a contrarian. So, gentlemen, thank you all for being here on Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network, the voice of the free people. So, fellas, you heard my opening there. What are we thinking about the future? Do we think the future is going to be better, or we think the future is going to be worse? Where do we see this crossroads happening? Anybody?
I think you're going to see a real big, for lack of a better term, melting pot in politics. What's going to come down this November through the elections? I do believe that the blue wave is coming, only because people are fearful of what they have heard from the liberal media, for the most part, that things are going to change radically and it's not going to be for the better. Although what we've seen in the last year and a half has not necessarily impacted anybody in a negative way.
So you think, even though the facts are not with people who are saying these horrible things, that it's actually things are going pretty well, you think people are still afraid enough that they're going to run and undo all of this?
Well, let's go to another topic that's related to that. It's social media. People are believing what's written. They're taking it verbatim. As far as what's going on, they're believing what they're being told. And what they're being told a lot of times by the left is not necessarily the truth, but sometimes it's all that they will accept. And unfortunately, it's being taken as what's going to occur.
So let me ask you, is there ever any truth in it? I think there is. I think it's like a stop clock, right? Twice a day. There's right on both sides. People have informations and feelings. Jim?
The old adage, you hide a kernel of truth behind a bunch of lies. I see that happening often. Most of the children, at least there was a poll recently, graduating high school, they believe in socialism. I can't imagine, even when I was young at that age and relatively naive, I never thought socialism. I always believed in what America was, a capitalistic society. Capitalism provides the checks and balances on corruption. However, how can you be optimistic? And not only in high schools and grammar schools, but in colleges, they inculcated into socialism, and some would say even Marxism.
Well, it's interesting. I think Hillary the other day was talking somewhere again with her 57th reason why she lost, as opposed to she had a horrible campaign and people didn't believe in her ideas. She came out and actually said she thinks she hurt herself when she said, "I'm a capitalist." That the people in the Democratic Party were so offended by her saying she's a capitalist and not a socialist that they were against her. I find that shocking. Just like finding out these kids, you're right, I saw that same poll. These kids say that 63% of them say socialism is a okay way to go. If we decide to go that way, it's okay.
Once again, as I was saying, they're believing what they're hearing. They're believing what they're being told instead of opening their mind and finding out exactly what's going on. It shows now with the young people as far as socialized medicine is concerned. They see the people in Canada, for instance, getting free care, but they don't look at the flip side of the coin. They don't look at slow or no development in new drugs and new procedures. They don't see the long lines that the Canadian people wait in to get medical care under the socialized programs, and the level of care that's provided under a socialist medical plan. A lot of the independent vehicles that we have in this country for alternative cancer care or alternative care for other illnesses that may occur, you don't have that in socialized medicine. It tells you will get.
They walk in, they get taken care of, head to toe. But I've also heard the other way, where people have to wait. And they don't get the care they need in a timely manner. Greg, what do you think?
I think news has to be news. And I'm not sure about the poll you're speaking about. I haven't seen it. But, there's no place in education for inculcating, and there's no place in education for that. What it's supposed to be is educate. And people will make their own decision. Have you looked at any of the research, though, that says most young people become more conservative as they get older?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's something we have to talk about, as we move forward. Because a lot of people see all the positives and you're going to share with everybody, and that's fine. But when you have to problem solve and you want to be the greatest country on the planet, okay, at least I do, and if you're going to do that, you've got to have a military backbone, you've got to have a backbone of research and development, you have to have corporations, mm-hmm. at least my way of thinking. And even though you're the contrarian, and I like to go right at some topic, but there's have to be better problem solvers. But let's start with news has to become news again.
Something happened, and we're going to tell you what happened. You decide, correct?
Yeah, but I have to flip between stations to get real news.
Right.
You're the educator, it's more than just the news. I think the education establishments from high schools to colleges are very liberal institutions. There's another poll out today, and many of the colleges, there's not one person on the staff that voted conservative or for President Trump. And a lot of the curriculum has nothing to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's all about
social engineering.
Social engineering. And maybe what you're saying is that once these the people graduate, the youngsters graduate, get into the real world, they learn that all this nonsense that they've been taught is wrong.
Well, let me be a devil's advocate here. And again, I try and look at both sides of this because I have people that I love that are on the left that really believe this stuff. I just think the difference is, again, Greg, your point about the media is right. I think the people that believe this stuff on the left in their heart, it's because they believe in goodness. They believe in sharing. They believe in if we just were nice to each other, it would be beautiful.
You really think so, Jeff?
I do. But I think that's what they really believe. I think the world shows you later on that you can't live in that fantasy world. It doesn't really exist. Todd, what do you think, my friend?
I think with the teachings of the kids these days, they have no work ethic. They see everything given to them. They don't have anything to learn about.
So they just kind of walk through it.
Yeah, they think it's easier to get it given to you than actually work for it.
Okay.
Which is the basis of socialism.
Right. And that's why they like it.
Because absolutely.
I don't have to
work. But what do you get given? Do you get given a beautiful home or do you get given a place to stay? Well, do you get given great meals or do you get just enough to live?
They're taught in the schools that if you look go through some of the schools, what they're being taught, it's not good or bad. It's just this is the way it is. They don't teach them the other side.
Right. Okay. Gents, I appreciate everybody's opinion here. This was a good open for us here in round one. I want to tell you a couple of minutes about some of our sponsors, people that are out there supporting Chasing Justice, and I want to tell you how much I really appreciate that. For my law enforcement brothers and sisters out there, I've mentioned this a couple of times, and I'm going to tell you, do yourself a favor, go on the computer and look up Blue Magazine, the independent voice of law enforcement. This magazine is tremendous, and you can find it at www.thebluemagazine.com. Tons and tons of articles, and it's written by law enforcement for law enforcement. I think you're going to enjoy it. The other thing I'm going to tell you, if you need any type of security equipment, if you need visitor management systems, if you need swipe cards, if you need cameras, anything to make your facility safe, you want to take a look at A-Plus Technology and Solutions out of Bayshore, New York. You can find them at aplustechnology.com. Some tremendous sponsors of our show, and we really appreciate it. We'll be back in a minute.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Here we go to Bing, round two of Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. And I want to thank the network for having us on here, letting us have our voice, letting us have our opinion, and being able to talk directly to America. This is what free speech is all about. So here we are in the neighborhood. We got all the fellas here hanging out, and I appreciate everybody being here. We all have opinions, we have thoughts on things, and that's what a neighborhood really is. It's a place where you can talk about things, where you can become who you are, and you share information. So what I'm looking on the news now, gents, I'm looking at seeing what's going on out there in the world, and we see that recently was the NRA convention for 2018. Now, I remember the NRA when I was a kid. My dad was a hunter, and as a kid, I wanted to go out and hunt, you know, because my dad did it, so I thought it was a cool thing to do. And the idea of going out into the woods with your father and, you know, uncles and your friends and hunting, I thought was great. As I got older, I'm not against hunting at all. I just really don't hunt anymore. It's not something, like I said, I'm not against it. It's just not something that I do. But the NRA was a magazine we had in the house because my father was an NRA member, and a magazine would come, and I would read all the articles about the newest kind of guns and hunting techniques and all. It was great. It was part of what I did and what was part of my life. As an adult, as a law enforcement officer, I carried a weapon. I carried a weapon all the time. I carry a weapon to this very day. I'm permitted to do so I do it. With the whole idea that if I'm out in the world somewhere and something crazy were to take place, I would have the ability to at least do something. I wouldn't be one of these people helplessly getting taken out by a lone wolf terrorist or some crazy person or something. But I'm law enforcement, so I'm allowed to carry a weapon. Not everyone is. The NRA is a big proponent of gun safety. I think we can all have to admit that. People that think that they're just crazy, I don't get it. But I do see the concern they have about the pressure they have and the money that they spend in politics. But when you look at that number, it's actually really small compared to like Planned Parenthood, who spends 6 or 7 times the amount of money lobbying than the NRA does. But the media tells us that the NRA controls everybody, and these politicians can be bought. It's as simple as that. You give them enough money and they'll take your point of view. Otherwise, we would get a lot more things done in our country. So that's where I want to open it up. Anybody hear anything about the NRA convention? Anything that you'd like to say? Jack, I know you were chomping at the bit before about the NRA and Second Amendment, so go ahead.
Well, we hear a lot about the Second Amendment as of late because of all the horrible, despicable school shootings that we've been suffering through. Unfortunately, this is a part of having a free state, a free country, and having our Second Amendment rights. The NRA is the only one that we seem to have that's a spokesman for the sportsman, for the person who enjoys guns. And people can and do enjoy guns. That might be a horrible thing to say in today's society. But you have people out there, including myself, a gun owner, who enjoys actively shooting targets. I enjoy it, much like anybody else would enjoy golf. And unfortunately, the only spokesperson we have for such things are the NRA, who come under fire for a lot of things as of late. But the NRA also comes back and says some things not to be controversial, but only to tell the truth, such as texting while driving has killing more people than handguns. Mm-hmm. You have these people taking automobiles, trucks, vans, things such as this, and committing heinous crimes by driving up on sidewalks or setting off bombs and what have you. And the NRA is the only one out there who's telling these truths. That this Second Amendment right was given to us. It was given to us for a reason. And guns are there for us to enjoy.
Well, let me jump there for a second. I know that you're right. This whole thing has become controversial. It's the Second Amendment of our constitutional rights, and we have to be very quietly talking about it because you're a nut if you believe in the Second Amendment. You're a nut if you want to go shooting and target shooting or whatever.
That's
there must
not
be something wrong with
it. That's not what the Second Amendment is about, though.
What is it about, Jim?
Well, the Second Amendment is about a population that can has the ability to rise up and actually revolt against an oppressive government. Remember, back in the revolutionary days, that's what that was all about. There was people rose up to revolt against the British crown. Well, the founding fathers were very concerned about this government becoming so oppressive and maybe even totalitarian, where the people may have the need at some point to do the exact. I'm not advocating that we're to that point.
Where people say you start to cross the line. You really think you're going to fight against the United States government? You with your even if you have an AR-15 at your home in your closet, you're going to fight against a tank when they send them into the neighborhood.
First things the Nazis took away were the guns. The first thing that the communists take away are the guns. And believe me, an armed citizenry, even though we don't have the same type of sophisticated weapons that the military has, or even the police, is a deterrent to the government.
Jack.
And along the same lines of what Jim is talking about, there's an old saying that says, fear the government that fears your gun.
Right. Well, here's what I'm going to say right there. And I want you to think about this, everybody. Because every time I bring this up, and I talk to a group of people, and we talk about, you know, they say, well, back then it was flintlocks, and you were fighting against flintlocks, and you had cannon versus cannon. Now, you got handguns at home, and the military has very sophisticated weapon. Jim, you're absolutely right. If it ever came to be that the government became so oppressive, and the fact that these kids now are saying, oh, we could vote for socialism. Socialism's one hop away from taking your guns and controlling your life. That is the default position of humanity, is tyranny. We're a surprise here in America that we lasted this long. But I can tell you this. You are expecting all of those soldiers in the military would turn their weapons on their fellow citizens. I think if it ever got to that point, you would see a mass exodus of these people who would not shoot their fellow citizens, would not shoot their aunts, uncles, and cousins. They would revolt and go the other way. Go ahead.
I'm more concerned as an American citizen with the fact that who's actually qualified. What percentage of our population is qualified to serve in the United States military? And I think getting that number up is more important than anything else. Also, as far as the gun lobby goes, and those items need to be worked out, but I don't see the NRA going away, and I don't see the position on guns going away that each side has. But it's got to be logical. And how do we make people safe? One, we stop texting and driving. All right? That's definite. Especially
and riding on sidewalks
as a cyclist. If we're Jersey guys and we're talking, listen, be careful when I'm riding my bike. That's number one. Number two, please, all right, have a logical view on what type of guns you're talking about. And, you know, we're talking about defending bump stocks, because what we really need to do, and we need the right people. And mental illness has to be taken into account, and how you vet police, and how you vet who's going to come into our schools to defend the children. Those people have to be the right people for the job.
Right. So I think your point about mental illness is huge. I think it's crystal clear to me. I teach in the schools all the time. I teach police officers. The taboo of talking about mental illness is something that we haven't even begun to break the surface on. The reality is, there is so much about mental illness that we're afraid to talk about that instead we ignore it. And there is so much undiagnosed mental illness out there. And this is where you're seeing a lot of these shooters come from. Everybody says they're bullied, they're bullied, they're bullied. The reality is, when you look, they're not all bullied. Some of them are, but almost every one of them has some type of a mental condition, diagnosed or undiagnosed. They're on medication or they're unmedicated, and they should be. And that's where reasonableness comes into the argument. I'm okay with being reasonable about it. Don't take my gun, but I can see that if there is someone that's got mental issues, we go through the courts to say maybe we should remove those weapons until the person can get the help that they need.
I would agree with you holistically on that, but the problem is, how do you vet these people? You have the HIPAA rules, and you know as well as I do, you know, oh, we give them a background check. What is a background check? And the government has been trying to talk about this all the time, but my problem is they don't have the ability to do proper background checks. Every one of these recent shooters has had a reason to not have a gun, and I think that they should not have had a gun. Mm-hmm. But what did the background check do?
Right. It's ineffective. Jack?
And, of course, the criminals. We would all agree that they should not have guns, but they're not getting them legally.
You know, I had an idea. What if we made heroin and cocaine illegal? That would stop people from taking it, right? The criminals, they would just stop taking it. It is illegal. And the guns, too, right? The criminals shouldn't carry a gun illegal. They don't turn them in? Now, wait a minute. Dad, this is something new. I didn't understand this part of it. So what you're saying is,
I'm glad to bring this to light for you, Jack.
Yes, thank you. They don't follow the rules. So that means that innocent people like us, who may have weapons to protect our families, because that's not a crazy statement, all right? If somebody breaks into your home and they're going to attack your family, and you know what? It might not happen in your neighborhood right now, but it happens. It happens every single day. As a cop, I saw it all the time. People break in, they victimize your family, and you know what happens? You end up hiding. You end up begging for your life, and as they pillage and destroy your family. And if you don't think that can happen, read the papers a little closer. So somebody that wants to have a weapon to protect their family should be trained. They should know what they're doing with it. But that's another reason we have these guns, to protect yourself.
And it's all a matter of respect when you're a gun owner, okay? I happen to receive proper training, and it started with my father. I couldn't point a gun at anyone, even if it wasn't loaded, even if it was a toy. I could no longer point a gun at anyone, because that is the way I was taught. And we have to remember that on the good side, this training is available by going to the NRA, especially online. They will show you, tell you where to go to get trained, to use your weapon safely, a gun range where you can use the weapon in an enclosed environment and learn
All good stuff.
All the good things that comes with gun ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that we have to continuously lobby and fight for a given right. It's a Second Amendment. There's a reason why it was second.
I think the Supreme Court has really spoken on that, and a lot of this is wishful thinking. The Supreme Court has looked at it and said, you do have a right, and it's not a militia, it's not an army that you have to have. The individual, there's a comma in that ruling. There's a comma in those words. A well-established militia, comma, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms. The people. See, because the Founding Fathers, Jim, as you pointed out, they were concerned with us. They knew what was going to happen with a government because the default position of humanity is to live under tyranny. We have had kings, we've had czars, we've had people who rule over us. That is our species. That's natural for us. This America has been an experiment in freedom. And the forefathers, they saw that and they covered that. So, Jack, your point is 100% correct. The NRA does do the right things. And I think they did something really good, too. They named Ollie North as the president. Now, say what you will, Ollie North is a patriot. Ollie North put his life on the line for this country.
And a hero.
He's a hero. He served in the military. And he's now going to be the spokesman and the president of the NRA. I think that's great. T, what do you think?
I think that mental issue is a big thing.
Should people have guns?
They should have guns. But right people should have guns, not mentally ill people,
Underage people, right. People with problems, drinking problems.
Right. You got to vet them out. Like, we just saw the last shooter. They took his guns away. They gave them to his father. The father gave the kids back the guns.
Right. That was absolutely absurd. And I refuse to mention that person's name. I would prefer to think of the victims instead of that guy. But you're right. They took the guns away and the father gave them back. Now, that father's going to face charges, and I think that's appropriate. The guns were taken away because the kid had a problem.
Right.
You don't just give them back to him.
Do you believe because of the mental illness issue that a lot of these people do have, as we've covered, do you think without the gun, they would still commit a crime of this nature?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it. We are intellectually dishonest if we don't say that having a gun makes it easier to commit a mass crime. Although I could get in my van and I could drive down the sidewalk. The gun is the focus of their attack because it's personal. They have it there. So I think that's a reality. But I think it would show itself in other ways. Greg?
You couldn't get into a school with the van as easily, and you couldn't hurt those 17 people.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. The gun is a personal weapon.
It becomes a mass incident instead of a singular incident that is more likely to be stopped.
Agreed.
Right, absolutely.
As long as we have video games, and I hate to go there, but I am I totally believe that the mentally weak, challenged people, if they get addicted to these video games, it's all shooting up, it's all killing people, it has to affect their mind somehow, and is probably promoting some of this violence.
Yeah, and I'm particularly concerned about that, that you are desensitizing, especially children, and you're targeting that audience. And again, I don't care what side of the political aisle you sit on. You know, the logical aisle, right in the middle, says, oh, if you desensitize somebody and you give them a video game that looks super duper real, okay, you have a problem because you are absolutely, you're feeding that fire.
Well, there's no doubt. Colonel Grossman, who's a national speaker on violence, he's the guy that the military and the government often sends out to mass shootings, and he examines them. I believe one of his children was in Paducah, Kentucky, in the school when the first school shooting took place. And Lieutenant Grossman, he makes it clear that not every shooter was addicted to video games, but they all played them at some point, these kids, because it desensitizes, no doubt. You know, we saw the games. We did Pong when we were a kid, right? That's all we had. These first-person shooter games are as realistic as can be, so much to the point that you hit the person, you see the blood go flying out of them. It's really an amazing thing.
So if there's a correlation, then why hasn't the government, and here I am...
Well, now you're advocating for government intervention.
It's
the only mechanism we have.
It's the only mechanism,
we have.
Why haven't we instituted anything in order to screen
Well, I tell you, that's a good point, and I think we should come back and talk about this entire thing as an episode itself, because there's a lot here to talk about. But again, a good thing. Now, we have about a minute left in this segment. I want to kind of do a lightning round, just your thoughts about what's some things that are going on out there. Melania Trump, our first lady, I think she's classy. I think she's smart. She has come up with her program that she wants to work with, the Be Best program, concerned with healthy living for children, social media problems, which, Greg, we should get into that. That's a nightmare. And also for the opioid problems. So, Jack, go, lightning round.
I'm glad to see her engaged. I'm glad to see her helping children. It seems to be where her heart is and where her passion is.
Excellent. Todd?
I think she really needs to be involved because first ladies are taken very seriously.
You know, right, they have a good voice, right?
Sure.
Absolutely. Greg?
I like the title of what she says, and we like to say that ask the best of yourself. Mm-hmm. I think adults have to do that. I think kids have to learn that, and she's on the right page.
Fantastic.
Jim? I think she is great.
Man of few words. She is great, and I think I don't like the fact how they're treating her in the mass media. They're telling her, talking about how she made her speech. The reality is English is her fifth language. Can anybody else speak two languages? All right, so I think you got to give her a little room. She's an intelligent woman, and I think she's using the position, Todd, as you're saying, as First Lady, to do some good. All right, so I want to thank our sponsors again here. I'm going to tell you about MCON IT. MCON IT, they are third-party providers of help for people that have huge computer systems. They also do data storage and recovery for large entities, law enforcement agencies, large companies, etc. So MCON IT, if you need anything like that, I'm going to tell you, go look them up. They are the experts. I know some of the people in the company. We've talked about cybersecurity together. So it's emconit.com. MCON IT.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, and welcome to round three of Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I want to thank all the gentlemen from the neighborhood. That was awesome. You know, the Jersey Boys. That was a lot of fun. We'll have them back towards the end of this segment, at least a couple of them anyway, because I want to talk to a couple of young people right now. I said at the beginning this was about the future, and really this is the future. We're going to hear from the people who actually own the future, young people in America. They own the future. It's theirs. We're only stewards of time, and we're passing it on to them. So I have with me today, I have Jack, who is a high school freshman, and we have Marisa, who is graduating high school, heading off to college. And I wanted to get their opinion on some topical things about schools. So Marisa, I know recently we had some conversations about the tragedies in Parkland and what happened down there in Florida. And I think you told me something that really changed my whole perspective on this. As someone who teaches about school shooting and how to protect yourselves for businesses and schools, I had a particular outlook on that incident. I was looking at it very analytically, what happened. You told me that you and your friends actually watched that horror live on Instagram. You saw the kids that were there being shot and killed. You actually saw that on the phone live. So could you tell us just a little bit about what you saw that day? How did that make you feel as a high school student?
A lot of the students who were from Parkland were posting videos on Snapchat, While they were waiting in the rooms, capturing, hearing gunshots and hearing screaming, kids getting hurt running in the hallways, and that ended up getting posted on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all different social media. So as it was happening, my friends and I were sitting in school watching all these videos come in.
You were watching it live.
Yeah, basically, as soon as they got posted, we'd look at them. And it was just heartbreaking to see firsthand these kids getting shot and just having to sit in their schools with nothing to, you know, help them and save them.
No, I know that affected you.
Yeah.
I know that affected you very strongly, as a matter of fact. It was surprising to me how much it affected you.
One of the things that affected me, other than seeing the graphics of it and seeing the blood and all of the stuff that was sadly captured, was messages between a senior girl and her freshman brother, which was really hard to see. She posted the screenshots of he was on the floor that was getting shot up, and mm-hmm. she was texting him saying, you know, stay where you are, please be safe, I love you, I love you. And he was just, they didn't know if it was going to be their last moments, and that was heartbreaking that sure. any kids have to go through that.
And you have a brother who's a freshman.
Yeah.
So did that kind of affect you thinking about that? Did you think about your brother at all?
Yeah, of course. It seems so unfair, and I never want him to have to worry about anything like that. And just knowing live that these kids were going through it was the most surreal thing, and it just really put everything in perspective for me.
So how did you and your classmates, after seeing that, how did you feel about your own school? Did you feel safe in school? Were you concerned about it? Did you have a bigger view about school shootings?
For me, there was definitely a sense of bitterness that I had to go to school every day knowing there was such a lack of protection for us and so many people had failed the students of Parkland, feeling like it could happen to any of us at any time and you really don't know. So there was definitely a lot of anger, and also these are kids that we follow them on Twitter and we follow them on social media. So being able to actually connect with these kids was so much more different than just watching it on the news. So it definitely hurt us a little more.
See, this is amazing. You really are of the future.
Mm-hmm.
My generation didn't have that. We didn't have that instantaneous connection mm-hmm. To anyone. Even in our neighborhood, you had to pick up a phone and dial it with, you know, a rotary phone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for all the young people out there that are listening, this is an amazing thing. When I was a kid, there were these big metal boxes that were outside. They were on street corners, and they were near food stores, and they were near 7-Eleven. You would go into this big metal box. You would put quarters into this big metal box, and you would dial, and you could actually talk to people on a telephone. It's called a payphone. You kids have never seen that, right? No, you've never seen a thing like that. Yeah, but your words, Marisa, move me to this point, because, like I said, I saw the emotion register on you. Now, you said that they failed them, kids, and I have to agree. I mean, the people who are in charge of keeping you kids safe is us parents, school people, law enforcement. That's our responsibility. And everything possible failed in that incident. And I do my level best to try and keep the kids I look after safe. And you know I always protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So thank you for bringing that out. Jack, you're a freshman. All right, you just left eighth grade last year, and here you are, you're in ninth grade, and you're going into a high school. It's a new school, big school, lots of kids, lots of different people. What is the feeling of kids in your school about school safety, and how did Parkland affect you at the other end of the spectrum as a freshman?
I definitely think that a lot of kids in my school don't take the school security as seriously as they should, but I know a lot of the administrators and the teachers and the adults in the building are definitely kind of awestruck by what happened. And so they're definitely moving to try and mitigate what could happen if something like that.
That's interesting. So the kids aren't that concerned. What do you mean by that? Well, how are they not concerned?
They still don't, I don't think, see the value in doing the drills and being prepared for something like that. I still think it seems very alien to them. They don't think it could happen to them. And I think that's very wrong. And it's unfortunate that that's super wrong.
Do they take the, when you say they don't take it seriously, when there's a lockdown drill, are they making noise? Are they fooling around? What are they doing?
Yeah, they're not treating it as if it were real, which is the whole point of a drill, mm-hmm. is to prepare you for if something did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't treat it as if something is happening, then it's not going to prepare you at all.
Right. So do they announce that it's a drill, or do they just call you into lockdown?
The teachers know, And sometimes they'll tell us if there's going to be a drill. But they do just say code red or code white or something like that. And then we're supposed to know what that means. And
so you're supposed to remember codes. Yeah. Well, there's a couple of good points right there for anybody out there who's listening. I teach and train on all of this kind of stuff. And best practices tell us if you're using code words, code red, code white, code orange, get rid of that nonsense. Because in an emergency, nobody's going to remember what's a code red, what's a code blue, especially if there's gunshots going off. So what you want to do is say, lock down, there's an unauthorized person in the building. Lock down, there's an intruder in the building. That's the kind of thing you want to say. Marisa, what do you want to say?
I think going off of what Jack said, being a senior and being a little older, I also go to a different school. I go to a performing arts high school. And the seniors in my class and all the way to freshmen were so affected by the shootings and by the videos we saw that we had a lockdown like 4 days after, and a couple of us were crying in the lockdown because it was just such like a horrible reminder of what could happen.
Yep.
And we really are taking it so seriously.
And I know you are. And I know there was a walkout at your school not too long thereafter. Did you participate in that?
Yeah.
What was that all about?
So the walkout was basically to raise awareness for all of the, you know, elements that failed all the Parkland students. And it was organized by the Parkland Drama Department themselves and by the Parkland students. And it's amazing because they started it on social media and it was nationwide. And it basically was to raise awareness for how unsafe we are and to call action that we need to do something for ourselves. We need to take action and start to actually care about the topic.
So how are you going to take action? What are you going to do to help yourselves?
The walkout, first of all, I think was really important in raising awareness because at a specific time, all the high schools that were allowed to do it, I think it's a shame that some kids weren't allowed to participate, but my whole high school, we went outside and we stood for 17 minutes outside and it was freezing cold and all of us were in complete silence. And then my teacher organized a poetry reading. So anyone who wrote poems dedicated to the victims or for the victims or for awareness got to read their poems. And the entire school, every freshman was there. And it was one of the most emotional things that I'm sad I ever had to participate in.
But you thinking that by doing that, you're moving the ball forward.
How is that happening? I think because students like us who have never experienced anything close to it and hopefully never will, who would never have known those kids in Parkland, we're so young and somehow those kids from Parkland were able to reach out to this school in New Jersey and get everyone, schools from every state, to come together. And it's just crazy seeing how all these different schools, these young people could kind of like hold the torch for this movement that we want to happen. And so getting everyone to walk out at the same time I was so honored to be a part of it because that's I think fantastic. Someday people will read about that.
And you know what? It's not only so much that they'll read about, but it really does. You and kids your age, and I say kids, but actually young adults your age, have brought this to the attention of people. And I remember you and I talking about it, and you were very upset when it happened, and you said, it's not your responsibility to keep you safe. We make you go to these schools. It's our responsibility to make you safe.
Right.
So I took that to heart, and I wrote an article, and I showed you the article I wrote. It was actually here on America Out Loud on the webpage. Was about you kids marching. And really, you're marching, but you're calling for help. You're demanding that we do something. And I agree.
And
it's our job to do it.
Just like those kids, those poor kids who had to sit like ducks in Parkland and wait for help. That's how all of us feel to a degree. We're all just sitting and waiting for the people in charge to do something. Mm-hmm. And I think the worst part about that is having to sit and wait. So the movement, the walkout, was really important to get us all involved so that the more people know about it, the more people are involved. It's to a point where we're kind of saying, help us, or you can, you know, get voted out, or something could happen.
Well, you know, that's the power you have in a couple years, the power of the vote to make your voice heard. And that is the beauty of America. Mm-hmm. No matter where you stand, you have a right to voice your opinion. Now, Jack, I want you to jump in here for a second. You're saying that the teachers and administrators, you think they're taking it a little more seriously. You think they were moved by Parkland?
Yes, I think they do. And I you can definitely tell that they're trying to implement more things. They've hired more security officers. They've had police going through the parking lots and the buildings. And so they're definitely doing a lot more to try and prevent anything from happening.
Now, I know we don't want to mention any names or anything, but I know recently in your school, wasn't there a kid who made some threats? And it wasn't the first time he made threats.
No, in the beginning of the school year, he made threats, and then very recently he made a few threats, and he was found with supplies to make a bomb, and he was on camera doing it. And so the police investigated it. They went and they arrested him, and he was suspended for a few weeks. And I don't know what has happened from there.
How does that make you feel, knowing that there was a kid in your class maybe really planning something?
I definitely think that the police acted on it quickly. As soon as they found out, as soon as the video was online,
the video was on social media.
Yes.
So on social media. So here we have in one instance, social media helping people get their word out about things, and social media also maybe saving people. So it's an interesting topic, this social media. It's a different world. It is the future. It's nothing we ever dealt with. So I really want to thank you two for participating here on Chasing Justice, because this is another thing, really, if you think about it, it's about justice. It's justice for you and for all the kids your age, for all the children out there that we have to try and protect. So we're all trying to do something to help you. I have dedicated my life to that. And you know I'm going to try everything I can, and I appreciate your opinions. You've helped me learn about this. All right, so I'm going to ask Jack one more question here. Interesting topic, topical. And then we're going to get some of our neighborhood guys back in here for a minute. Jack, you are a member of a organization that meets regularly, are you not?
Yes.
What organization is that?
A member of the Boy Scouts of America. The
Boy Scouts of America. Now, you say that very proudly.
Yes.
I know you're and people in the audience out there are going to love this. Jack, as a 15-year-old kid, is an extremely conservative young man, very pro-American. He has his points of view. So he likes the Boy Scouts of America. And are you trying to achieve something in the Boy Scouts? What are you doing?
Yes, I'm working towards Eagle, and I hopefully am going to get there within the next year or so.
And you're doing a good job. I see you're working real hard. Why is the Eagle important to you? Why is getting an Eagle badge important?
Well, other than being able to put it on a resume, it looks really good with that. It shows you're dedicated. It's a thing of honor. Not everyone gets to it, and you can't do it by just coasting by and showing up at the meetings. And so it's kind of a thing where you can show that you put in the work, that you did more than what other people were willing to do.
So it's a lot of self-initiative.
Yes.
That's outstanding. And I got to tell you, when I did police officer backgrounds, when we were looking to hire cops, and somebody had on there that they were an Eagle Scout, that said a lot. The fact that you achieved that said all those things you just said in one line on somebody's resume. It says they're dedicated. They put their time in. They don't take shortcuts. They work really hard. So keep going. I think it's an important thing for you to get. But let me ask you about the Scouts. I mean, recently there's been a big change in the Boy Scouts of America. I now understand that we are not the Boy Scouts anymore. We are now the Scouts, or that's coming very soon. And they're now allowing girls into the Scouts. How do you feel about having girls in the Scouts?
Well, the Boy Scouts of America is still the name of the organization. It's just the branch known as the Boy Scouts will no longer be the Boy Scouts. They'll just now be the Scouts. And I think, depending on how they handle it, it could go a few different ways. The whole point of having a boys-only organization is to help boys mature and to learn the things that boys need to know to grow into men. And the Boy Scouts organizations have seen that when, like in different branches in the UK and in Mexico, when they just started letting girls join the Boy Scouts, the membership drops, and in every branch, there's no leadership that goes to the boys. All the girls take over, and that kind of takes away the opportunities that the boys have, and it kind of devalues the organization for them.
Well, I can say that, you know, a lot of married guys would say that that happens in a lot of organizations, and for good reason. Women are good organizers. They do follow through. They do all those things. I think what I would see with being a problem with having the girls in there is because there's absolutely no doubt in my mind when I'm with a bunch of my friends when I was younger and we were doing guy stuff. We were talking guy. We were learning how to determine who we were as people. You bring a girl into the picture, and now we're all concentrating on the girl being there. We talk to each other differently. We act differently. We're trying to impress the girl. We're trying to talk to the girl. We talk to each other differently. And it changed the dynamics of our group. And I think the point you're making is that as young men learning to be who they are, that's important. Adding a girl in there, I don't think it's really going to change things. It probably make things for the better, but the reality is it's going to take away some of that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the whole benefit of the organization is it's time for boys to get away from the rest of their lives and is for them to spend time with just other boys and the adult male leaders. And I think that is really beneficial for them to get time to be who they are, because boys and girls are different in the way that they learn and grow up. And so being with people that are more like them is definitely helpful for them.
I think so too. Well, we only have a little bit of time left. I really wanted to get the group in here to get some opinions going. I think maybe we might have this in the neighborhood conversation in a very soon. We might bring this up and get everybody else in there, and I would have you two back if you want to go back and talk some more. Maurice, I see you're chomping at the bit to say something. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time here. So I'm going to have to say to everybody listening, thank you so much for joining us here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Thank you to Todd, Jack, Greg, and Jim, Marisa, and Jack. You guys were all great, and I appreciated your free opinions. And that's what America Out Loud is all about. So remember our sponsors, Blue Magazine, www.theBlueMagazine.com, A-Plus Technology and Security at A-PlusTechnology.com, the leaders in electronics and any type of safety and security equipment you think you might need, and more importantly, stuff you don't even know you need. They got it. All right, I would like to also thank Pangaro Training and Security. That's me. You can find me on the web at jpangaro.com, J-P as in Peter, A-N-G-A-R-O.com. I do training, safety training, security training, threat assessments, which are hugely in need at all organizations, and our friends at MCON IT. If you got IT you need protected or taken care of, that's who you call, MCONIT.com. Until next time, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.